episode, we are in conversation with Sarah Wirth of Highly Sprung Performance Company, a physical theatre company that certainly produces theatre that moves.
We love collaborating with them on visual to accompany their movement and have created a number of shows with them.
Take a listen as we converse about caravan sleepovers, creating noise in libraries, and what lifts us up, up and away.
Should we kick off
Let's kick off.
Introduction of, hi, I'm Snowball Baghead.
The Vortex Scenes are joined in conversation with Sarah Wirth from physical performance company Highly Sprung.
Woo.
Or should we say,
Snowball Baghead.
But you see, you're laughing about that. But do you know what? If we hadn't told you that it was a bag on your head, Sarah, would you really have known?
Never. I thought it was a bespokely, beautifully made, perfectly measured to my head hat. And then I realised my head is the size of the inside of a bag.
What a
It was
revelation.
A beautiful bag, though. I think it is like vortex upcycling at its best.
It was.
Yes. And yeah. But do you know what I've got beside me?
Have you got the bag?
I have got the bag.
The thing is, I think because it looked so stunningly beautiful, I didn't mind. I was playing a part that I've always wanted to play of the, you know, Snow Queen. And the bag was glittery and pearlescent and everything that I expect from a vortex costume. And I went out there and I looked amazing. So baghead or not, it did the job.
Long live the bag.
Thanks. Next time you fit me for a costume, right, I think I have sat down for so long, my bum has actually turned into a square shape.
You know, that's making the podcast, don't you, Sarah?
You would never let me out with anything less but perfection, so, you know.
Well, that was a great project, wasn't it? The whole of Fantastic Fun with Words and kind of taking over libraries. We've done everything in so many different libraries, haven't we?
I know.
And my favourite moment will always be the man that just shushed you.
Do you have to do that here? Yeah. I think that probably pushed our collaboration quite far because whenever we work together, we seem to deliver way over the brief. Why do one character when we can do eight or nine, you know?
We can be Captain Hook and the Time Traveller and let's do some Swallows and Amazons.
Yeah, and then let's chuck in 30 young people in full costume. But not just traditional costume. No, no, no. You took every costume, like for Peter Pan, and you said, we're going to make it look like they've literally stepped out of the pages of the book. And that's what you did.
The whole Miss Havisham, you know, it was such a difficult part for you to learn because it was a long monologue, wasn't it?
All of them have been. That project was terrifying because we had pages and pages of monologue to learn. I remember, I think I had to take the text to the bath with me for about 3 weeks.
You played that part just so phenomenal. And nobody would believe that you were, you know, were you in your 30s when you
probably
were doing
30s,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That costume was very transformative and represented so much about the character. And I actually used the costume and the set to help me deliver the monologue. You perfectly captured everything that I referred to in either the costume or the setting. And I think that's the way I work as a physical company as well. I don't think we rely on just our brain and delivering the text. It is about embodying the physical space. And you made sure that the physical space allowed me to tell that story. So very good. Well done.
Well, not bad for something we knocked up on Nicola's dining room table at the time because we were without a studio.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember as well having to like drag it through the library spaces and especially in Stratford-upon-Avon where we went down that really steep staircase and you were both kind of holding the big train, making sure. But it was so heavy as well, and that was another important part of the character, because it did pull your body into a different shape, and was the right shape for the portrayal of that character. So the whole burden of the text about this woman who cannot let go of the past, and you physically captured that, this heavy train that I had to drag. It really sort of, yeah, there was no way I couldn't have portrayed that in the emotion of it, because you felt it in the costume.
I think our collaborations actually push both of our companies and to really explore what we do and what we're asking of each other. I think of Lost Gift and transforming Warwick Art Centre into an immersive walkthrough set. It was a proper give and take, and kind of building on each other's ideas and wants and desires to make the best.
I have always shied away from describing work as magic or immersive, but particularly with Lost Gift, every time I performed in that, my hairs stood up on my arms, and to see the experience of the people coming through. And I think we've found that in quite a few projects, like the Christmas light switch on, you know, and when we did the light switch on where we revealed Santa in the workshop, and you do that, you help us to make magic happen for the audiences. And that's, oh my God, Travelling Treasury.
Well, that's traveling another magical treasury. Experience.
That was so beautiful. And I feel so like you create an environment for the performance to happen in that is so believable and so completely encapsulates you and properly immerses you, that even as a performer, every single time I performed Rose in Travelling Treasury, I mean, it was up to 27 times a day. And every time I got completely lost in the emotion of it. I think it was because everywhere you looked, you were in the environment of the story. You know, there wasn't.
But I think you gave us such a good story to work with. And I think that's where, like, true collaboration really zings, is that you kind of feed off each other. We gave you an environment, but you gave us words and stories. The Travelling Treasury as a caravan, without you in it, it's still a beautiful space.
Yeah.
And likewise, the story of Rose is absolutely beautiful, and it was beautiful when you recorded it as a bedtime story over lockdown. And it was lovely to listen to your voice. It's perfect podcast. It's like, it's marvellous. It's all of those elements, and I think that's the important thing of immersive environments and any kind of theatre that transports you. It's about all of the senses, isn't it?
But you attend to that. You don't come at design in a kind of a two-dimensional way. When I work with you, I really feel that you attend to the four dimensions. And I think that was really important, like for Professor Corium's Heart Emporium, where we've got this big white dome and we had to turn it into an environment where children felt they were walking into this amazing heart laboratory. And that was a really simplistic design because we couldn't afford to do anything big because the space kind of didn't allow, but you worked with the space to kind of find what that language was of the Heart Emporium, and they really could believe that from seeing the sign on the door to actually sitting inside the dome that they were in this special emporium and it was just there for them. And there's silence.
I was like that. I feel like I've talked too much. I was like, and is Maz coming in?
And does Sarah want to say more?
I just still remember that caravan. And like Maz and I go in, they're not paying us enough for this caravan. We just need to spend one more day on it. And then, like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're still looking at the beauty of a book
finding
page.
Finding the perfect word on the perfect page.
I remember arriving. I arrived one morning and you'd slept in it. And I opened the door and I was like, hi. And you were like looking at me and I was like, what happened here? And you were like, we slept. in the caravan. But it looked amazing. It was when we had to remake the caravan. I think that was... Oh, oh,
no, it wasn't when we had to remake the caravan. It is when I had to go on tour with it because the caravan was coming away and had to be taken on a trailer. And I just remember standing outside Cardiff.
See, I stepped well away from that.
My God. Cardiff
when it was strapped to a trailer.
When it was strapped to it, it came off. And I remember this guy going, well, you can't park the trailer here. I was like, okay, but the trailer has to be part of the show. Because, you know, you have to look after the trailer because the caravan is going to be performing where it can't go here. I was like, well, it either stays or we all go together. So what is the solution to this problem? And just left it. And I just remember Greg going, that is why you're here, Nicola. Yeah.
Can we just pick up about Jack Frost? That was an experience because it was less than 2 weeks before the City of Culture announcement in 2017. But we later found out that that promenade piece had a strong influence on securing the City of Culture. True or not, let's say we'll take that.
Yeah.
But that's pretty landmark, isn't it? Mm. And actually, it was a landmark occasion to be allowed to do that sort of experience for that evening, for the Coventry Christmas light switch on. They'd never done that sort of work before, had they, for that event?
It was the first time that something really performative and fictional was part of a light switch on event, because usually it feels quite commercial and poppy, where you've got your big bands or, you know, your flavour of the month music performers. And this was a show that kind of took place on a large scale, and I hope reminded people not only of the magic of that time of year and what it should stand for, but also what the feeling is of it, of experiencing that kind of cultural event. And I think that drives both Highly Sprung and Vortex, and is probably why we keep coming back to collaborate with each other, because we're driven by the audience experience. That is paramount. And I would love to think that the bid for City of Culture identified with the fact that the audience in Coventry is ready for that and gets a lot from it.
And just to bring a bit of visual to Jack Frost, we had a large Jack Frost head.
Enormous,
glittery, fantastical. And it was on Mark Worth, the other half of Highly Sprung, of course. But way up in the air on an enormous rig spinning around. We had bungees, we had the fabulous sprungs all lit up and glowing. We had glittery presents being passed around the street.
There was a lot of glitter. It's not there just glitter presents, was it? It was proper sparkle factor.
That's another like Vortex staple is I have to have glitter, please.
Everybody,
where's the glitter?
Yeah.
As a four, I think we all bring the ingredients that we need, and the resilience and perseverance. Because
and the dynamic.
Yeah, we've been through some tough challenges and come out the other side. Like, I don't think we've ever done a project where we've just strolled through it, going, "Well, that was easy."
Nice. Do you know what came to mind then is that bloody sixth room in the last.
I was thinking of the lost gift as well.
Oh, my goodness. The thing is, it's like that age-old thing. It's the artist struggle, isn't it? You bleed, you sweat, there's tears, there's
you get glitter in the
sadness,
eye.
There's all sorts of challenges.
You get moss up your nose.
And all snow.
Snow. Oh my gosh, I remember like coming in one night and literally just like taking off my top and it like literally tumbled
bra
out.
Pants
bra
everywhere.
Yes.
It's when you wake up in the morning and your husband who has not been anywhere near the set is covered in glitter and you just think, how did that happen?
I remember inhaling snow because A kid threw it in my face as I was doing my speech, and I went.
Oh, you had to tell them that the gift was them.
And everyone was happy with that. Nobody went, oh, where's my gift voucher?
But there's something about experiencing things together. And I think that's what Highly Sprung and Vortex do, is allow people to have shared experience. And I think we've all learned over this past year that actually shared experience is really key to what makes us tick as human beings. And shared experience in the flesh, there's something about the energy and heat and buzz of other bodies that you can't quite recreate online with a Zoom. Yeah.
Over this time, we've seen some like brilliant digital stuff. But I think for all of us, real life can't be replaced.
I always remember the story that you told, Sarah, performing in Travelling Treasury, because it was about the visual, it was about the performance, it was about being in a small enclosed space, but it was also about still having a headphone, so you still felt like you were in a little bubble of your own. Yeah. And I just remember you telling the story of the little girl who at the end, where you delivered your line, "If you believe in magic," and the little girl saying, "I do!"
Yeah, because she didn't know anyone would really be able to hear her, but I did. It didn't distance them in some way. There was something really emotive about that. And I think we've spoken a lot about the importance of story, and it's Mark who writes all these stories. But that moment where Rose turns into a tree, and if I caught the eyes of the audience, you know, there were many, many, many times where we'd have little tears in our eyes together. And I don't think you can get that necessarily through a screen in the same way.
Well, the headsets did totally make that performance. And I also remember our battle before coming to that decision. It was, you know, we played it over. It's like, oh, no, you can hear everything in the caravan. Oh, no, it's it almost feels too close as well when you were speaking to the audience. And the headset for you as the performer and for the audience listening, it just clicked. And for 8 minutes, you were whisked away.
Yeah.
Quite literally into a pop-up book.
Yeah, and I think I just remember touring to some of the, when we did the rural touring to like the villages, and the village fete with the big brass band parked up next to the caravan. But when you had your headphones on, it kind of blocked all that out, and you really could be immersed in the sound of the story and the world of it. I don't think any of us could have predicted that would be so successful, because when you talk about it as a concept, it's really strange. Like, you're going to go into a caravan and you're going to put on some headphones, you're going to hear some sound effects and a story, and somebody who looks really strange is going to be dancing around in front of you opening bits of cardboard. It's making me think, why aren't we planning to do more stuff like this again? Lots of obstacles kind of start getting in the way and you lose sight of those really important audience connections. And I think this year a lot of us have started to have to reinvent the way that we deliver work, and maybe have forgotten the reality of what that kind of connection and that real-time experience is. And I think that's just reminded me how important it is to just hold on to that, and maybe we need to revisit it somehow.
But there is that moment where your eyes connect with somebody else that is seeing the same thing, or you've shared the same joke, or you've there's just something just,
and that is definitely what magical is lost with digital.
If you think about up and Away that we created with you as well, you had to help our audience believe that we were taking them up into the clouds. But it was really important for us that the story spilled off the stage and into the audience, and just providing us with that enormous sack of socks for the children to throw at the sock the sock thief, you know. The joy of that moment, the joy, I saw the show a couple of times from the audience perspective, and I was just like, yes, this is what I live for, this moment where the children are like bombarding the stage with socks or... you know, just the when the clouds come in for the first time, and we had that. I know you hated it. There's been so many times where both of you have looked at me like, you what? You want us to what? But like the idea of that cloud cloth. I mean, it was a ridiculous idea. We want an enormous, giant piece of material.
White fabric, Sarah. White fabric. Not just any material.
No,
white
I know.
And fabric.
And it needs to float like a cloud. And it needs to look like a cloud. And you're like, what are you making us do? But then just the idea of when that floats up over their heads and they feel like they're in the sky. It's just brilliant. I was happy to just pretend I was in a hot air balloon. But you were the one.
Yeah, right.
You decided, no, Sarah, we're hiring an actual hot air balloon basket. And you are. If you could have suspended that, you would have, wouldn't you? You bring a kind of a really acute simplicity to things where it's not overly complex. And I think that really helps people to feel that they can access what we make.
We live by that. If you can't fake it, feature it. Because it's just about, again, being real and human. And that's what good theatre is, isn't it? We all kind of want to join into the illusion that we're seeing in front of us and believe that it is actually happening.
Vortex are also responsible for teaching us the rule of three. What do you want, Sarah? What do you want? Do you want it to be good? Do you want it to be cheap? Or do you want it to be quick? You get two. Choose wisely.
Do we sound that harsh?
Sometimes you
Nicola does.
But you know what? You know how to keep us on our toes, don't you?
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, it's when your 18 sprungs becomes like 203. And, we're going back to Book Pirates, you know, when a little, I visioned that we're going to be walking on a plank. And actually what it needs is a whole pirate ship attached to said
that can move through a library. The other thing that I really love is when I have to come back and go, you know that thing? It broke. And you go, what did you do? And, well, you know, it was like Professor Corium was, I nearly died the morning. Nicola had dropped off this beautiful cupboard with all the veins and arteries and laser cut foam, beautiful. And the first thing I did was knock one of the arteries off the cupboard, and I just went, I held it in my hand and went, oh my God, Nicola's gonna kill me.
Well, I remember Nicola coming back to the studio and telling me that story.
She was actually very lovely about it and just went, I bought my glue. I think it is genuinely just me.
It's generally also why we leave pins in things, Sarah, just to remind you.
Oh, my God.
That keeps you on your toes.
That kept me. Oh, that was in Lost Gift, where the enormous dress pin. And I kept, every time I bent down to talk to the kids, I'd be like, whoa, what is that? And then eventually I just felt the hem of the trousers and went, oh, it's a pin. And it had to be cut out with a Stanley knife in a 30-second break between audiences coming.
We are professional. We're so sorry. It was just, you know.
I think you did it on purpose.
We have had a very long relationship, haven't we?
Yes.
We have worked together for as long as Vortex has existed, which is since 2008. But obviously, we met much, much before, when we were much younger. Much younger people.
Yeah. We didn't know what direction we were going to go in at that point. I don't think either of us did, really.
No. We were both at Coventry University. I was doing fine art, studying sculpture and installation. And you were...
doing theatre. Yes, Coventry University Performing Arts. How did we get together in the first place?
I think it was Carnival.
Yes, Nicola.
Basically,
yes.
We reconnected because you and your sprungs were a Carnival mass section.
Yes. Okay.
Was it the Venetian one?
Because we were there from the beginning, I think. Coventry Carnival in its reimagining from 2003. When you network with people or you meet people, you don't always get to work with them to start with, but you know that there's a certain energy or respect or love of each other that you kind of go, we're going to do something together. Yeah. And so I think it was probably kind of seeing each other for a few times over Carnival that made us then go,
should we do something?
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy because that is how Maz and I met.
Yeah.
In the same vein, like through Carnival. I think Carnival has connected so many.
Mm. Yeah, it's such a connector, creatives. Isn't it?
I tell you what I've just remembered. I think that we really connected because I wore one of your Vortex costumes in Carnival.
And that is how me and Nicola formed Vortex Create through that costume.
And I wore it for the London Thames Carnival and we led that carnival and I span my way across London Bridge.
We love that costume.
Yeah.
Like not only I loved because it was not only because it was how we connected, but as you know, like how we formed Vortex, you know, we made this costume that suddenly everybody thought was brilliant. We designed it obviously because of the aesthetic of it, and the original costume was called Where Time Becomes a Loop, and it was about this vortex shape and the performer being, you know, stuck in the middle of it. But for us, it was about how do you play with a costume really connecting with a performer, and so that every movement, everything that that the performer does is then accentuated.
And it was also a moment of its time, because the day after that competition, it was in the Olympic year when we won, as in like the Beijing handover to London, and people saw something in that costume because of the circlerness, because of the way it moved, it was really kinetic. And then the next day, you know, we had two project offers on the table, both Olympic related, both relating to the handover, and me and Nicola literally were like, shall we actually like do what we're ever going to do and form a company together? Yes. Aww. What are we going to call it? Oh, well, our costume, a Vortex, Vortex Creates.
It was a fantastic costume to perform in. And I think I was really excited because I'd met people who understood how to make kinetic wearable art. And I just loved how it moved around you. And if you put in loads of energy, the costume would do big stuff, and if you put in little energy, I remember you could just like bounce your shoulders and the whole costume would bounce around you, and it was so weird. Like, it was basically a cage, and you'd look at it and think, oh, how is that going to be interesting? But as soon as it's on and moving, it was just so exciting. And I think though you have instilled in everything you do this value of joy, and that costume brought me joy to perform in.
I think we both struggle with that thing that we have to run our businesses in order to survive, but at the end of the day we are all artists that have a real value and ethos to what we're doing.
Yeah.
So you can't just walk away at the end of a day and just say, well, there's no more time to be spent. No, that budget is not going to stretch that.
I think it'd be really difficult if you were working with a designer who just gave me something and was like, well, that's it. Or, you know, or they didn't have the level of consultation to really understand what that vision is. And I think what I really appreciate about working with you both is that you enter into constructing that vision with me and Mark. And I think, you know, Urban Astronaut could be seen as maybe one of the simpler commissions that we gave you, but oh my goodness, you had to understand that. I mean, that is an outdoor piece of work. There's nothing else to hang on that apart from one dancer, and you've got to believe in the world of that astronaut through just looking at that one person. And you had to realize the entire world of that piece through one costume. You wanted to dig deeper and you needed to understand from us what was that world so that you could realise it visually. And I think it's a good collaboration because we dare to kind of go that extra depth.
Just thinking about joy, and it's just made me think about 2018, Sarah, standing in the most squished, non-COVID secure space ever and waiting for that news of City of Culture to come along. It was a beautiful moment, wasn't it?
I always believe we deserve it. Kov has such potential, but no one's going to see it. Kov's always like second place. And then the actual announcement for the people in that room was really weird. I don't know if you remember Vic Minette from BBC Coventry and Warwickshire. Her feed was about 20 seconds faster than the feed, the official feed. And she whooped behind us and we all turned. And then within seconds, they went, "We won!" And it was like, "What? What? Yeah!" And it was massive, massive elation because finally it felt like the spotlight is coming our way and we are able to now showcase the talent that exists within the city in the way that we've always wanted to, because it brings profile and it brings partnership and it brings that kind of national and international context that I think we felt like we were ready for.
And to be proud to come from Coventry. There's the expression, isn't there, like sent to Coventry, and there's a,
yeah,
you know, it hasn't always got the best name associated to with it, or, you know, what people think about Coventry. But it's a changing city. It's an amazing city. It's got so much to offer, and actually the city centre itself is being transformed before our very eyes. It's unrecognisable.
The title has brought massive change. We're incredibly grateful to be in the Daimler powerhouse as a creation centre, because it is a fantastic facility.
Yeah, what an amazing space. What an achievement.
It wouldn't be there without City of Culture, and so much other capital investment has happened in the city. I think the train station is going to be quite phenomenal and give people a really different experience of arriving in the city. And then the brilliant artwork that's starting to pop up around the city. Mm-hmm. That's what I really, really wanted for City of Culture. I wanted it to be that people get to the city and it's everywhere. Culture is happening everywhere. And I do think we are going to see that transformation because everyone believes in it. Mm. We are a city that believes in culture, and we are a city that understands the impact that culture can have on making positive change.
Even before City of Culture, there was always something happening. There was always something on at a weekend or, you know, and I really want the whole of the city and the region to realise that there is always something to inspire you. Mm. And where are you looking to be inspired? If you're fed up with your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed and you're not getting anything but people's dinners, then choose to follow something more exciting. Mm. Choose to find those companies that excite and engage you and kind of go, right, it's a Saturday night. What is there to do? I'm going to search for it.
Yeah.
Because there is generally always something exciting to be had or to see or to enjoy, isn't there?
We're all ready and raring to go. And actually having City of Culture is that kind of catalyst to get you back out there making work at your best. And it feels like we should have the energy to do that. But actually this long period of reinvention has you know, taken a bit of a toll. So I think it is about being kind to ourselves as well and remembering those wonderful things that we've had an opportunity to reflect on today, that we are going to make magic, but you know, we take with us what we've learnt. Well, it has been a pleasure, girls.
Thank you. Always.
You'll always be known as the Vortex Girls, no matter what.
Aww.
It's always a great pleasure working with you, and I really, really, really hope that there are many, many more collaborations to come. We've seen each other grow as organisations, and I think it's fantastic that we still find ways and still feel value in working with each other. And having the chance to reflect on like Travelling Treasury and Lost Gift, there's still that kind of ambition to do something like that again. So,
but I think we've always responded well under pressure, and like we can flex and flow. You know, we've sudden changes, whether that's a costume malfunction or whether it's the pandemic hitting us.
Yeah.
It's all just part of our journey, isn't it?
And all of us are going to be wearing bag heads.
Baghead Armageddon.
Oh, that's our next show, Baghead Armageddon.
Get Mark to write the script for that. That'd be ace.
Yeah, I've always wanted to make a show in a car, so you never know. You never know.
A show in a car.
It's called Baghead and Mageddon. Love it. It's a dining experience. Oh, thank you, girls. Love working with Vortex. You know it.
Oh, really nice to talk to you.
Yeah. That sounds like Maz is going, right, bye.
Yeah, I want to go now. I'm hungry.
She was trying to do a really professional ending. What? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Paul's just going to have to do a fade out on this one. Fade, fade.
Thank you, Sarah Worth of Highly Sprung Performance Company. Discover more at highlysprungperformance.co.uk.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks in conversation with actors Claire Cogan and Catherine Hankey to talk all things nightmares and nibbles as we introduce you to our immersive world.
We promise giggles and cheesy toes. Subscribe on your app so you don't miss it. And in the meantime, if you need anything from us, find us across the social with our handle @VortexCreates.